Good day, buffet. Thank you for waiting. Our table is ready for All You Can Eat, a weekly comeback of K-pop music commentary. Well, mostly weekly. We didn't do it last week, but we're back now. My name is Alan Mark, and each week we take a brand new release and we let you know what we think about it. Alan Mark, it's me starting it off today. Chuck's not here today, dealing and working on some things right now. So fortunately not here today. Best of luck with what he's doing currently. But we do have the other spam leader here today. It is Steven. How's it going, Steven?
I am doing pretty well. We do have a bit of a delay here, so I think it will be fine, but it's a little worse than this week, but I think it will be fine. We have a good album we're talking about today, so I think I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well as well. I'm hoping that my editing skills, I'll be able to alleviate some of the this lag that's going on, so our listeners won't even notice. But yeah, you know, that's what happens when we have to connect from New York to Oakland. But it's also nice that we're able to.
I think it'll just sound like we're really considering each other's thoughts and,
and
jokes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm very much a people pleaser. I at least have like been that way for so much of my life. So I'm just like, oh yes, here's the space for you in order to speak.
Yeah. I do that and just end up not saying anything sometimes.
True. That's very true. So seems like we're both doing well. I feel like we've forgotten to do this for a few episodes now. But at the top of the episode, you can follow us on social media. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at All You Can Eat. Getting a little bit more stuff posted on, getting some Instagram stories here and there. Let us know if there's other things you want to see from us on socials, because I'll gladly do it if people want to see more. But you gotta, get that engagement. Hopefully we'll be good, but we'll try to up it up as the year progresses. Have anything interesting been going on? It's been 2 weeks since we last recorded. So, what have you done?
Oh, okay.
I'd like to share cool without doxing yourself.
Thing. Yeah, I know. I went to this cool little event a couple weeks ago. It was this guy I follow on Instagram. He has a radio show. I'll just shout him out. His name's Bodega Pop. That's the name of his
shout
show. And it's on WFMU. And he said on Instagram, he just posted like he wanted to play some records he has. And just if anyone in New York wanted to come and like just join him, just let him know. And then he would find a space, and we went to just someone's house in a neighborhood in Queens, and there were like 9 other guys who showed up, and also the owner of this record store also came, and she's really cool. The host, he wanted to play these records he has in Arabic, so like Ooh. Old kind of 70s tunes and like novelty tracks. So that was really fun. A lot of the like, it just felt like we're all very similar people there, so we like kind of found our people. Just he would play a song and would be like, "Oh yeah, that's cool." And then, but it wasn't like serious where we would all just be quiet during the each track, but we just started talking and like getting to know each other. So it was like very fulfilling event with just all these strangers that we just met, but we all we're now all in this WhatsApp group, and like I don't know, that was just really a really good time.
That's cool. It's like and like impromptu community building. I love that. That's so fun and so cool.
It was great. And yeah, I found someone else who like collects Japanese vinyl, and like it just like all these people who do they're like
Heck yeah.
musicians. Yeah, it was just really cool.
Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned this to you. I know a friend told me about he found a place in New York that's just a Japanese re like vinyl record store. I don't know if you've been to that one. I don't know its name.
I just went there over the weekend.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It's
Oh yeah,
called
great.
Face Records. Shout out Face Records. I went there because I wanted to sell some records I have, and they gave me some
Store
store credit,
credit?
and then
Okay.
I used it to buy a record that it's a reissue of one of the best City Pop albums, Timely by Henri. So
Ooh, a shot.
it's a lovely blue vinyl, which is cool. So yeah, I think we could have gotten
More?
more if I sold them each individually. But
Oh.
you know what, I was too it was okay.
Yeah. If you're plugging things in your catch up, I want to plug something as well because
Sure.
this past weekend for me, I went to one of the preview showings of a new musical that debuted here in San Francisco, called Larry the Musical, which is about Larry Itliong. If you don't know, he's a Filipino farm worker that helped co-found the United Farm Workers Movement back in the day. It was very good. It's actually very, very good. I don't say that actually like, oh, I was expecting it not to be good. It blew me away, especially for being something that's more, it felt like a sort of a passion project from well, the written by Gail Roma Santa and composed by Brian Pangilinan. It was incredible. The music was so good. The performances were very good as well. The writing was really good too. I cried twice, once per act. So, yeah, I definitely, if you're in the SF Bay Area or are able to fly into the SF Bay Area to catch it, I would highly advise doing so. It's showing until April 14th. So, very short window. But I'm hoping that, this is just the beginning of it. Maybe, pushing it into other cities, touring, or at least like getting the rights to the play shown at other local theaters. But I was playing at the Brava Theater, which is a great theater. So yeah, highly want to plug that because I enjoyed my time watching that show. It was great.
Yeah, that sounds really good, and I would love if they toured that. Yeah, I would love to see it.
Yeah. The director of it too. Actually the director is New York based, so hopefully at some
Ooh.
point he could bring it over there. Yeah. It was directed, choreographed by Billy Bustamante. So for anyone in the theater realm that is familiar with him, I think he worked on the other Here Lies Love that was on Broadway last year.
Right.
So yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. It's any
Yeah.
theater people.
Well, that actually reminds me. Oh, I was just reading today that there's like gonna be a new Broadway show opening in the spring, which is a show of the album Illinois by Sufjan Stevens.
Yeah.
I just heard about it. Like they've been doing this off-Broadway run, but I have to go see it because that's one of the albums that I've like listened to more than like any other.
Yeah.
As a guy, kid in high school, like when I first heard it was mind blowing to me. So I think I have to go.
Yeah, I really want to see that too. I just found about it like yesterday, I think. So, yeah, I would absolutely love to see that too. I also loved that Sufjan Stevens album. Apparently it's like different from any other like musical, because it's like the singers are only singing, the dancers only dancing, and the actors are only acting, apparently. But still telling this story while like doing the music of the album. Yeah, so I'm very curious to see what it's like.
Oh.
But yeah, this is the most we've talked about theater in a long time.
I think so, yeah. When was the last time? Oh, maybe when
Probably
I
when
talked
we
about
brought up K-pop
K-pop.
Broadway.
Yeah. Last, over a year ago,
Yeah.
like
Wow.
15 months ago.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Too long. Anyway, that's my main update that I want to bring up, I think for you as well, so we could continue on in our episode. And of course, after we catch up, see how we're doing. We also want to catch up on what else is being released in the K-pop realm this week. And of course, we call that Steven's Specials of the Week. So, Steven, if you are ready, take it away.
All right, thank you, Alan Mark. These are my specials of the week. I got what you want. I got what you need. Anyway, we have five releases. I went with names that I think we all know. I th sometimes we I try to pick things that are less are more under the radar, but yeah, I think these are some pretty interesting releases from a busy week. Starting on Monday, we have three. First up, we have the return of Day Six with a mini album called Forever, spelled FOUR ever, and with the title track Welcome to the Show. This is their eighth EP and their first album in 3 years since we covered them, with the album The Book of Us, Negentropy, Chaos Swallowed Up in Love. At this point, they've all completed their military service, and this they are they've been a four-member band, if you don't recall. And on this album, there are seven tracks, all written by the band, except Don, apparently, and Hong Ji-sang, another songwriter. Yeah, Welcome to the Show is the title track, and welcome back. Day six. Next up on Monday, we have a single from Kim Namju of Apink. It's called Bad. It's a single album title track called Bad. And this is her second single album. Also been a while since her first one, which was in 2020. And this album has three tracks. Credits include Jo Yoon Kyung, Bang Hye Hyun, Lee Ijin, someone named D.O., and then Shorel, Tori Raymer, and then Monotree on the title track. And a special guest narrator on the song Mirror Mirror, Daniel Henney somehow is narrating on this song.
That's
So go
cool.
check that out. Yeah. I think he's been like active over there in Korea, so he's getting in the music industry. Okay, last album on Monday is the from The Boys. It's called Fantasy Part 3 Love Letter. I guess it's a mini album, and the title track is called Nectar. This is the third part of their Fantasy album series. It has three tracks, including the song Dear, which came out in December. And this comeback will see the return of member Ju Hangyeon, who was on hiatus since November due to a back injury. So welcome back also. So that was Monday. On Tuesday, we have a comeback from Purple Kiss. It's a mini album called BXX, title track BBB, and this is their sixth mini album. There are six tracks on this album. The We have credits for members Swan and Chaeyoung on one song apiece, and then we remember Goen, we see writing and composing on two songs alongside someone named Coco Dubu Appa. So I've just been going straight through that, and other credits on the album include Zini, Lily June, Ryan Jun, Conran and Rhett Williams Lee, a few RBW writers, and more. And lastly, on Wednesday, we have the release. This is a comeback from Young Posse with a mini album. I'm going to say it's called Double XL. I think that's what they were going for with this. It is called XXL, and the title track, same name. This is their second mini album, and there are five tracks with a feature from BM of Card on one song. We get lyrics from all members across two tracks, and then credits on the rest of the album is mostly someone named Kigen on all songs, and then Yella D and Rick Bridges. So yeah, I think they had a clear idea of what they were going with this concept. So I will listen to it. But anyway, that was Young Posse, and those have been my specials of the week.
Great. Thank you, Stephen. Yeah, mostly familiar from us on this podcast. So it's fun to see all those comebacks coming through. Actually, I also want to shout out one more song that just was released Wednesday, just because I like the title a lot and I thought it was really cool. I also happen to like the song a lot, but it is from Lucy, who we have covered as well on this podcast. They have a song called The Knight Who Can't Die and The Silk Cradle. So just want to shout out for the title. Cool. Then I guess I will now pass it over to myself to spice up this episode by adding a little dash of Wendy. Who we have covered already on this podcast, but excited for another comeback. But not much to update about on Wendy since we last discussed her debut solo EP, Like Water, back in April 2021. But I got a few things. From July 2021 until June 2023, Wendy was the permanent host of the nightly radio show Wendy's Young Street, that was on SBS Power FM. On December 27th of oh, I didn't put a year. I believe it's 2001. Wendy debuted once more with the SM Super Group Got the Beat alongside fellow Red Velvet member Seulgi, among other SM legends. And in June 2023, Wendy made her official theater debut in the 10th anniversary production of the musical Rebecca in South Korea. Some more theater talk from us today. But yes, and now March 12th, 2024, Wendy released her first solo comeback with the EP Wish You Hell, and that's the album we're discussing today on this episode of How You Can Eat. So, another solo comeback from Wendy, member of Red Velvet. So we both enjoy her work, both definitely with the group. And yeah, I mean, you could hear our thoughts about her solo work prior from that 2021 episode.
Oh my
But we're
gosh.
back. It is an EP. It's six total tracks, I believe, with the lead single Wish You Hell. So, Steven, why don't you start it off? What are your thoughts on the song Wish You Hell?
Sure. Yeah. First, though, I should just remind everyone that I think, was it last Red Velvet album where, or at some point, I think I revealed or I said on the show that my Red Velvet bias had changed to Wendy from
Seulgi. I do not remember that.
Okay, but I just really like Wendy. But I was like, oh man, I guess. Yeah, anyway, but wish you hell. Man, I listened to this song a lot. And I feel like I just came to the conclusion that it's good, but nothing special. And I was trying to find like something to be excited about, but it was just hard to really find something I thought that really was that stood out, especially for a single from someone we consider like the one of the best vocalists in the entire country and industry. But I think this is kind of a different release in general for her as a solo artist based on what we've heard from like Water. So I think like, does she sound great? Yeah, sure. I think so. There are parts I think in the pre-chorus that I think she sounds really good, but I also think that the song, it's not really meant to be an avenue of her, like, I don't know, like a showcase of her vocals. It's just like maybe a different kind of thing. So I don't know. I think the song is fine, but it kind of sets a tone in a way. I don't know, but I like that it's sort of cheeky in its chorus, and I don't know, there's some things to like about it, but I just couldn't get into it that much.
Yeah, I think a lot of my same feelings and thoughts do reflect yours as well, because out of all the songs that we're discussing today, this is the one that I have the least amount of notes on, because I don't find it very particularly special as a, especially as a lead single. Similarly, I do like that at least it shows a different side of, I know, what Wendy does musically, that different from like Water. And I sort of expected that anyway, with the title and the concept photos anyway. Though I was expecting a different sound, it turned out to be a lot lighter than I anticipated, like from a Wish You Hell title. I was expecting something, I guess, a bit darker maybe. But I do like that they went with this direction of, like, you said cheeky. I noted, like, it's like a playful pettiness in how she sings the song. Yeah. And with that, like, guitar-driven riff throughout the song. So I thought that was just fun. And it's, like, generally, like, a fun song, you know. But, yeah, other than that, like, I don't dislike listening to it. I think it's very, like, it is a very fun listen. But it also is a sort of standard pop song that I don't have, like, a grasp on to, like, note what makes it stand out compared to, like, other, like, all the other pop songs that we hear, particularly when we cover this podcast. So, you know, nothing really of the arrangement sticks out to me. Not much of the instrumentation sticks out to me. And maybe that's to highlight, like, Wendy as, like, the main focal point of the song as the vocalist. But even then, like, she doesn't do a lot in this song. Yeah. So it's like, it feels a lot more subdued than what I'd expect from, you know, Wendy, let alone, like, just someone from Red Velvet and deciding, choosing from her, from those songs. But I think if there's anything to highlight, it's just the attitude in the song. I think that shines really well. But yeah, other than that, like, I really don't have, like, it's not, I don't have neither bad nor good to say. It's, It's a pop song that was released.
Man, like, I guess some of the things I think that I thought maybe were interesting about it were like some of the vocal effects that they have. I feel like they kind of enhanced it. It's that second verse, they did something there that was different from the rest of the song, and I don't really know if it added a lot to the song, but it was something. And yeah, like I think the composition, it just doesn't give her too much interesting like to do vocally. So if whoever had it, I think like they would have done as good of a job as they could have done. So it's, yeah, it's just like it's a song.
Yeah, and maybe it's also a testament like how much we listen to Wendy and enjoy her voice and know what she's capable of, because there are like impressive things she does, like the wish you hell, like the little like trilly part of the chorus. It's like that is like not easy to do particularly, but it's also like it just sounds so comfortable and effortless from Wendy. It's like that it almost sounds pedestrian in that way because it sounds so easy for her, even though I'm sure it's like probably is like pushing up on the range a little bit, which I think you could tell a little bit when you watch the It's Live version that she does of this song. But yeah, it's just like maybe our expectations are a little high because of how we consider her as a performer.
I think, yeah, we just hear her do these things so naturally and like so easily that we expect maybe some type of like real, like, I don't know, some belter or something at some point in the song, and it never really came, so that's not really anyone's fault. It's not her fault that they didn't do that in the song, but would it have made it a better song? Maybe I would have had that thing that to talk about, but it's just like it's still the same. Yeah, it's still, it's playful, it's fun, it's okay.
Yeah. And I think also this is nice that we cover albums because it's like, oh, okay, at least there's like other songs where we at least can hope that we can get more of what I guess we would want out of a performer. Singles are singles and are meant for like mostly like radio play view, like lots of views and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just a weird, I guess it's a weird landscape of pop music currently.
I
So just
know.
like what are we supposed to expect? Maybe it's just
But
this.
I don't even think this is, I think other songs would have, I don't know. Okay, we'll get to it then later. But
Probably. Yeah, we'll get to it. Lead single also has a music video. I personally didn't really watch it too much, but so I don't have a lot of notes. But yes, do you have anything that you want to discuss on the music video? I mean, it's still the playful cheekiness to it that we've talked about with the song, but yeah, it seemed fun, but anything stick out to you?
I like the square aspect ratio. I think they're going for some kind of nostalgic feeling here. And I am so glad that at that moment in the gym, where she picks up the bottle and like she drinks from it, and then she throws it behind her, right? My first thought was like, someone's gonna have to clean all this up. And then thankfully they showed like the person who would have to clean it. And I appreciated that like comedic touch in the video. So I was just concerned for who would have to clean up whatever happened in this high school gym. Yeah, other than that, there were plenty of scenes here. That red room was pretty cool. It looked pretty cool, at least.
That maybe I've been playing too many of these games lately, but that red room
Oh
did
yeah,
remind me of
I was
Persona.
like,
It
It's like the spiral.
It's like, oh, is Wendy in the metaverse now? Is she about to enter one of the dungeon Persona 4? I don't know. I
Oh
thought that
man.
was fun. Also, our second music video this year, where parts of it mostly takes place at a church.
Oh yeah.
Wonder if this one made people mad, but different church. I was looking at it. This is a different church. I don't know why I'd assume they would film in the same one. But something I didn't find out till later. Just want to bring this note because I'm very much me. The church that Le Sserafim filmed in, same church that My Chemical Romance filmed their
Whoa.
Helena music video.
Oh, cool. Where is a church?
I think somewhere in LA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Wow.
but this one, not the same church. I looked the stained glass behind the
Yeah.
altar is different. So,
Okay.
but that would have been fun. And it's like, oh, are we gonna hear any like backlash for this? No, nah, doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. There was a funeral,
But
so.
yeah. Other than that, like, I mean, it's a fun light music video. I don't
Yeah,
have,
I don't really have much.
a lot more to say. Well, I do. The styling I thought was really cool. I think it like evokes this old, like you mentioned, like nostalgic, like almost like teen horror, like a feel to it, which I thought was a nice little touch. And
Yeah, but
so,
I
yeah.
feel like in the her like the concept art for this, I was expecting like the football or the American football.
Got a distinct
Like why that sport, I guess. Anyway, that's
yeah. I
okay.
think that's where it's like, if they're evoking specific horror films, I guess like Carrie comes to mind, where
Yeah.
it's like a high takes place in a high school.
Oh,
That's sort of
yeah.
what I that's how I connected the two. But it's like, yeah, we did not. There is nary a American football in this music video, I believe.
Just clicking through the video, I found that clock in the red room, or it just says hell, but with the colon in there.
Yeah. Oh, is it gonna be the midnight hour? The what's the what is it in Persona 3? Something like that, the midnight hour or something. The
Oh,
dark
I
hour.
don't know.
There was also a tarot card in this music video, right?
Oh yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
yeah,
oh.
there's a lot. Is that a fortune card? I couldn't tell. Anyway. But yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
I think that's as much as you're gonna get from us from this song and music
I
video,
think
I believe.
so.
So,
Yeah.
yeah, let's you know what? Chuck usually does a second song in the first half. I'm gonna take the break now.
Oh,
So,
okay.
yeah, so when we come back from this quick break, we'll go ahead and talk about the B-sides that I have planned. We chose again 3 out of the 5 B-sides to discuss. So if you stick around and we'll come back and see you on the B side.
Get out of my face. I don't need your love like I did last week. Get out of my face. I don't need your love like I did last week.
All right, folks, welcome back to the B side, where we'll be discussing the well, a few of the B sides from Wendy's EP. Wish You Hell, starting with track number 2, titled His Car Isn't Yours.
I met you in the summer. What a bummer that the timing killed the mood.
This one, His Car Isn't Yours,
It felt
sort of
easy
this was the
going
sound that
far
I was
away
hoping
from
to
you.
get out of Wendy from her first
But now
EP,
looking back, I
From
look
Like
days
Water,
back. I'm
but
glad he
Yeah, we're finally getting it. It seems like, yeah, they want to give her different sounds for first comeback, but this is something like Wendy always shines in a lot of the Velvet side, Red Velvet songs. So giving her a full track of this, and let alone this is a full English track too, so it really, like, those things together sort of brought me back to, like, distinct moments in the music I listen to, with what influenced this song for me. Like, for me, well, one, I'm so happy to hear alternative R&B sound from her. Suits her voice so nicely, because, yeah, you hear the versatility in her voice all the time with, in her lower register a bit quieter, and then bring in a bit more power when she needs it. And, like, that style, plus I think the top line reminded me, like, it's giving Leona Lewis, Jordan Sparks from, like, those, like, 2010s era of R&B that was been playing at the radio. But yeah, it's just so, I think it was a very welcome song for me to hear on this album, because, yeah, I always love hearing Wendy sing this style. Yeah, we got a little bit recently with Underwater, I believe was the song off Chill Kill. So, yeah, but I mean, Steven, how about you?
Yeah.
You visually, you were like having reactions of like, yes, because same thing. So
the first thing you said was like the first note I wrote down. Just this is the sound like I wanted to hear from her. So I feel like we were all going to be on that same page, like, and that the album takes a different turn, like, after the single. So I guess one thing that I was starting to wonder is, like, whether or not this is the same you as in Wish You Hell, but I don't know. Well, if she's still singing to that person, it's kind of too, I don't know, like, conflicting almost feelings about this person, if it's the same person. So I don't know. But yeah, back to just like the sound. I agree about the vocals. And I would say, like, this one, we do get, it feels like it's all about her dynamics and just control and like her emoting on the song. So I think it just really suits her well. There are parts of the song that I really like, that kind of emphasize maybe just how the lyrics were written. I think it's in that second chorus where it's an extended, they add like a second half to the chorus. So every time she says you on that, it's on the one of that measure, and I really like that they it just emphasizes that. And then from there, I think you'll listen back and nothing starts on the one of any measure, or like no lines, it always picks up from like a little before it. So you just feel like there's an emphasis on certain on that beat. And I especially liked how when she sang you hear like a drum, and like it just that part just really stood out to me. But
I did not catch that, but that's such a good note. I love that note as like an emphasis for this song.
Yeah, because at this point we've just been she's focusing on this you for these two songs so far. I think even when I heard the teaser, I felt like, is this going to be some logic puzzle that I have to figure out? Like, his car isn't yours. I didn't know who is she was going to be singing to her. But then it's clear, like, what the song's kind of about and her feelings. But, yeah, there were some things I kind of wished for the song. Because I think there are parts of it that are just, it's like a two chord progression for a lot of it, which a lot of great songs are just like that. But I kind of wish the chords were a little jazzier, or there was like, I don't know, they sounded pretty standard, or like you hear them a lot in this style of music, but just like something a little kind of cooler sounding chord. Yeah, even I don't know, some parts of the melodies were could have been more interesting. But it is, I think I like the song a lot more than the first song we heard. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're talking a lot about like especially that second chorus section. Like my main note too, like I love the in that second chorus, I believe. I don't know, it probably shows up in other choruses, but particularly that second chorus, it's very effective. Like there's a very faint like vocoder or talk box
Oh
vocal
yeah, I
in
love
the
that.
like in the very like going along with her melody. Like there, that's such a nice touch. Because it like yeah, it doubles up her voice, but it's like so it's not far back. It's like sort of right there in your ears. It's just very faint. And it sort of like helps accentuate like her feelings of like almost like hallucinating that she's seeing or at least expecting the other car when it's not. Like there's like a double thinking of like of what you're seeing versus what you're perceiving or want to perceive, which was really interesting. And was like such an effective like just production bit that they did. So it's so subtle, but it's so good.
I really like.
Also with these like it's always talking about the story of it, and also I didn't think about this about Wish You Hell, but it applies to like with these types of songs and a storytelling aspect. Like, do you envision her speaking directly to the you, or is it more like inner monologue? Like when you sort of in, or if you envision it at all,
I
like is
guess.
she just speaking to herself, like, oh, this isn't you, like in her brain, or is it like, she actually is speaking to the subject that she wishes it was his car.
I think for both of these, it's more inner monologue that I'm thinking. But I could see it the other way too. But yeah, that's how I am j have just heard it so far.
Yeah, I'm the same way too, but like I love imagining the drama of like for this song specifically, if she was speaking to that guy particularly, like they just happen to like run into each other or they're at like just having an offhand meet up at a coffee shop just to like closure, quote unquote, and then this is like what, yeah. So I know, just interesting storytelling bits that my brain goes
I
through.
feel like if they had a video, because there were two Wendy's in the MV for Wish You Hell, I feel like they could do that for this, like she's watching her expect someone else. So I feel like that could also work in the for the a video. So
All right, then we're gonna move on to track three. Yeah, just going right to it. This track, Best Ever.
왜 자꾸 네 앞에만 서면 고장날까나 하이힐 처음 신던 날처럼 또 삐끗해
Steven, go ahead. What are your thoughts on Best Ever?
So what, like this song I really enjoy, and one of the great things is I think just from her first lines that you hear, it just sounds like she is smiling already, and like, and then you just from there you just know like this is gonna be such a fun song. I feel like we started off very playful and then we're back to a more playful side, but this song also just feels, it's so like joyful and uplifting. I love the way it builds from the beginning and then they add some more instruments slowly. Yeah, a lot of it to me feels very spontaneous, like the way the instruments sound. And I just think it's really well put together. I think the horns are perfect on this, especially when they also follow like the vocal melody or like just a lot of the parts. I think that's really nice. Yeah, it's such a fun and light song. Yeah, well, I love more, but yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I love the change of direction again back to something lighter. At first I thought this was going to be more like a Pharrell production inspired beat to it because of how it starts. I mean, like those early Justin Timberlake or like those latter NSYNC kind of songs. But then like as you said, as it built up, it started to give me more like Lawrence or Lake Street Drive sort of like energy to it, which is fun, and I really enjoyed it because it's just like a different, vibe to another one, like a new vibe to expect from Wendy, which is really fun. Yeah, I think for this one, like the top line, really, I just really enjoyed, especially that the chorus where it's like the singing the best ever do it. Like it's just so good. It's so fun and vibrant. I especially love how it's built where like every fourth line, the line descends after like the three in a row to when it ascends. It was just a nice little like. It's fun to sing along to, and it's fun to like sort of dance to a little bit, just like so one of those like cleaning in your house sort of dance along to songs. Yeah, and then arrangement wise too, the said the like the strings I loved a lot, particularly from the bridge into the final chorus, were like done really strings. Did I mean or did I mean? I meant horns. I wrote
Okay.
strings. I meant horns.
Yes.
I love the horns section that occurred through this song, especially leading into that last chorus. It just like it brought in fun, like live energy into this song. Like, not that it sounds like this type of music, but it made me feel like when like the times I was at. In New Orleans, just like around, and there's just a
Yeah.
lot of like fun horns, jazz music playing. When I was at a wedding, we did like a quick parade around the blocks, and that had like a that live horn band at the front. So just like that sort of like lively energy shone through for me, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, the song reminded me of a lot of things, but one of them, that part with the horns going back into the chorus, I was like, oh, that's like the same horn part in Sir Duke, where like it's just really, really nice. I like it's not as long as of a break, but it's just another really happy, lively song. But a couple other things that it reminded me of. One is a really good cover of Dum Dum, Red Velvet's Dum Dum by like Giant Pink. It also has some horns in it. And there are two other names I forgot who they are, but you should check that out. And then it also reminded me of the French hip hop group Hocus Pocus. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they
No, I don't think so. Maybe.
some of their songs they have this very similar feeling. I think my brother introduced me to them way back, like 20 years ago. Or yeah, very long time ago. But yeah, so I just the song is really it's such a great listen, and I like it's such a nice mood that it puts you in. Yeah, I didn't have a lot of notes just because yeah, it's so fun.
One thing I do wish from this song though, because Wendy's voice is very light throughout most of the song, I feel like this would have been a great song for her to really like show off some really great runs and belts, especially leading towards the end and stuff. Like maybe things that match the horns or that like I don't know if it was like a vocal that they put a filter on that's like way in the back, or if that was like a theremin or something, like sort of synth, but like something where she could just like run wild a little bit, because with a song with that much like fun energy to it, I think having her just like show out. Like she's a she's sort of like well, actually, and I'll mention more of that in the last call, but but there's some like, yeah, I would have loved to have her go wild a little bit more there.
Yeah, I kind of have that note for a few songs on the album. But I actually felt like there were parts where I bet if you played this for me and I didn't know it was Wendy, I wouldn't have guessed it was her. Yeah, there's some parts, I think she sounds a little different from how she often sounds. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I wouldn't have immediately identified her if I just heard this.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Also, this is one where I don't dislike what the song does for it, like because I love the timbre of like the bass drum that they chose in the production of it. Like I just love how it sounds. But I would love to hear what this song would sound like with live drums. I think this song with live drums would be so good. But that's just like a little last like throw-in note I had left. But I think then we can move on to the last song that we'll discuss for today, which is also the last song of the EP, which is Vermilion. Another just gorgeous R&B song, again akin to His Car Is Not Yours, where it's like, oh, I'm happy we're getting more of this velvety Wendy on this album. But yeah, I think for me, what sticks out for this song, besides just like the overall vibe, which is really beautiful, I don't know what it is about it. Maybe if you or someone else can like explain what exactly it does, but I actually really enjoy the balance of like those synth pads with the strings that they bring into this song. Like sort of bouncing out analog versus digital, I think was really pretty. And it's sort of like, I feel like one way or another, it could have dated the song a little bit, but I think how they brought it together made it feel more like feel more contemporary to me. So I just love that soundscape that was created between like those two sounds together, which also I think just reflects the song really nicely as well, because it's beautiful. It's such a beautiful song from the melody to the lyrics and how Wendy sings it, that sort of the backdrop the instrumental creates was another like well balanced part of the production. So not surprised that this is one of the songs we ended up talking about as well. But
we all chose this to talk about, so I share all those same feelings. And I was noting those strings, and I was worried, like, I thought that maybe they were going to sound a little corny on the song, but they never do. They just, like, help to, I think, sort of, it sounds really majestic, and I think, I love how they work it in. It starts more R&B, and then I feel like the strings, it gives it something. I don't know, but I think the strings really work for it. I was also thinking about His Car Isn't Yours with this one, but with this, I was like, these are maybe more of the chords I was looking for. That there's a little bit more interesting, maybe, or maybe they're just more of them in the progression. But I think actually this is the best chorus on the album. I really like the way Wendy sings. I feel like there's conviction in it. And I think she builds up in the pre-chorus too. Like, you hear her getting like a little louder, and then there's no it's not like the song is doing the creating the tension or anything, but I think it's just more her vocals, and then we launch right into the chorus. But it's such a great it's a great closing track. I think it's another joyful tune, similar to like Best Ever, but less, more like personal. And I think I just, it's a really enjoyable song. What else?
Yeah, I think for how I describe it, like where it's joyous but different, is that this is, song feels more romantic, which is because of the sort of, yeah, just the overall vibe that it gives. And especially tying with the lyrics, it's like, especially with how, like, I guess how Wendy sings it, it made me want to like learn what these lyrics were even more, because of like the diction and just the like especially that particular line, like all colors turn vermilion. I'm like, I don't know what this means, but I want to know. So that's why I actually like went in to really like look at these lyrics, and just, it's gorgeous. Like, it's just, I feel like everything about it paints such a beautiful picture of like sunset, of like a partnership, of so yeah, it's, I think it was just everything married together very nicely.
Yeah, I love just the color imagery that that this song brings. Yeah, I think there's so much just like about it that I love replaying. And then I had one last note about the, I thought they have some vocal samples in here that are really cool, like the really high ones. I think those are inserted really well, and I love when you can, there's parts where you just hear that, and then it's so cool.
I love that. I love those parts of the production as well. It just adds like the right thing each time it comes in. And then paired with like the percussion in this song too, I think just is so suited. It feels orchestral in a little way. Like some of those like drums feel like timpanis that just like help build up more of that drama. It's just so pretty. Such a very pretty song, which I was hoping for, like, just when I saw the title Vermilion, I'm like, this song has to be a pretty song. And then I'm thankful that it's exactly what I hoped that a song called Vermilion would be.
Also, at the end, we get some, like, some runs from Wendy. They're good, and I probably would say this is my favorite, like vocal performance from her overall as a song. I think it also just gives her the best, like, just more to do, and the way it's written, I think it lends itself to that too, and to her voice and range.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. More or less, I feel like Chuck would have a lot of the same thoughts as us. Having been sort of similarly fans of Wendy and Red Velvet, and like the kind of music we listen to. So in turn. Before we finish things off here, we'll get into what's our favorite of the week. So I'm just guessing what's our favorite song. And I'm just going to start it off. Steven, I'm just going to guess your favorite's Vermilion. I would guess Chuck's favorite is His Car Isn't Yours.
Okay, I am gonna guess your favorite is also Vermilion, and Chuck, I will go with Best Ever. Like,
that does sound like a song he Chuck would really song. Enjoy.
No
surprise. I think, pretty obviously Vermilion is my favorite song from this one. So you're definitely right. But how about you, Steven?
Yeah, me too.
Okay,
yeah.
Great, great.
I, it's great.
No surprises, especially after talking about it. I was like, maybe it's the best ever after you're talking about it, but no, it's definitely cool. All right. Into this last call where we sort of round up our overall thoughts about the album, maybe touch into the our overall thoughts of the artist as well, but definitely of the album. You mentioned earlier that Wendy is now your bias out of Red Velvet, so I will save you for after my thoughts because that's what we usually do. Also, I don't have a lot from our last call today, but but I mean, for me, for, as Alan Mark, like, I'm happy that we get to see other sides of Wendy with this album. With Like Water, I think a little bit expected, hearing more of those like ballady songs, like softer pop songs. So I think, I know me, I always like want to hear more of that R&B, like show off vocally kind of stuff. Here, so I'm happy that we got a lot of that different sounds too, not just like that alt R&B that I love, but you know, Wish You Hell and Best Ever also gives different sounds, as well as the other songs we didn't talk about. But yeah, I think overall for this EP though, like those R&B songs that I definitely enjoyed ended up being sort of the standout tracks for me, and then overall the rest of the album then almost sort of becomes forgettable. So yeah, I think for someone like Wendy, who at least from my perception is sort of a child of like Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, Celine Dion, that like era of like divas, like I sort of expect more vocally coming from her with music, this type of music. And I think some of these songs didn't really show enough of that, or didn't really give enough space for her to show that off. And you know, maybe she didn't want to show off that much and want to do more of like these pop stylings that she can do very well and she probably also very much enjoys. But yeah, I think especially with SM in these past like several months releasing such ridiculously strong solo albums, a lot of which we've covered on this podcast, honestly. Like, I was like hoping that it would continue on, but this one feels a little bit more like a tier under those that we of the ones that we've covered that you could hear our thoughts on from since like October, honestly. Was hoping for a little bit more, didn't get as much as I wanted. But I mean, it's not like they're gonna not continue pushing like Wendy solo work because she's an incredible performer and singer. So yeah, those are my thoughts. Steven.
Yeah, it's gonna sound I think pretty similar, but I mean, I was obviously really excited when they announced we'd get Wendy's second mini album, and I thought it was like maybe it was 2 years ago, but it was actually 2021, and that felt surprising. But yeah, this album, I think it's fair as fans of fans of Wendy that we expected something more. I think of what makes her a generational talent in K-pop. I think if you watched her sing I Have Nothing and then you hear this album, and there's, I mean, look, that song is probably one of the hardest songs you mm-hmm. can sing, and like she kills it, but we don't really reach any like level that really shows her that really suggests that she can do that on these songs. And maybe it is just she wanted to show off a different side, something more playful and lighter. But I would have to agree that I was hoping for something a little stronger from this album. Those two, the two songs, I think, you probably would consider your standouts. I agree. It's just, yeah, I think the production is mostly like kind of uninteresting. It's like it's fine. It doesn't stand out, except for maybe Best Ever and the notes we had on Vermillion. But I think they could have, they kind of missed an opportunity, I think, for to give Wendy like just better compositions. So I'm like, I enjoyed this album overall. It's just, I think I have really high expectations of Wendy as a performer, as a singer, that I think the songs just sort of let her down, and it's good, but there's, I think, so much better ahead of her. So I mean, it's the single is okay, and I think it's my least favorite song on the album, but yeah, I just hope we maybe we'll just get some more from her soon. I hope it's another 3 years for another solo, maybe just at least a single from her. But yeah, I am not changing biases again, I probably, but I, yeah, just it's just, I feel like they've worked with her so long that like I think they just could have done a better job overall. And that's, yeah, that's, those are my thoughts.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you all for listening as well. And thank you, Wendy, for at least releasing,
Yeah.
an album. We're always excited about that. So, yeah, that'll do it for us today. Thank you all for joining us here at the table at All You Could Eat. And again, you could follow us on social media. We are on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. But that'll be all for this week. Join us again next time for when we dissect and dig into another recent K-pop release. And yeah, with that, so long, stay safe, and see you next beast.
See ya.